Amen. You may be seated. Just love being out here in South Dayton with you all. It's like you guys are, you know, I know I've always said it's like extended family out here. I feel like we're moving from like second or third cousin. We're getting over to cousin, I think. Been spending so much time together, you know, but I'm so thankful. I love this place. Love your pastors. It's just an honor to be here this morning and to share the Word of God. You know, even though it's a different mouthpiece, it's the same Word, it's the same God, right? And so we just desire that the truths that are in His Word will come out today and help us, encourage us, challenge us, and increase us. And I believe that'll happen for us this morning. Praise the Lord. So before we get into the Word today, why don't we pray? It's a good thing to do. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Father, we thank You for the promises in Your Word. And Lord, we build our faith on those promises, Father. We know we're founded on the rock of the Word. And so we thank You, Lord, that any storm that comes our way will not falter because we're founded on the right foundation. And Father, we thank You for bringing those truths out to us today. Holy Spirit, thank You for illuminating these things and bringing power into these things. And Father, we thank You for open ears to hear, open hearts to receive the Word. Speak through me, Lord, what You want said this morning. May that be only what is said. What You want done, may that be only what is done. And Father, we thank You for all these things and helping us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Praise the Lord. God's so good, isn't He?
Amen.
So thankful to be a child of God. There's no better place to be, no better name to have than to be a Christian.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. This morning, what I want to talk about with all of us is, when I say with all of us, it's because it's helped me too. And, you know, not that I'm ever at a place where I can't use more help, but I endeavor to always be teachable, always be learning. And so this morning, we're going to talk about living the life of honor, because honor is important for us. And as we get into these topics, you know, there may be some things that some are a little bit easier to swallow than others maybe. And I don't know where everybody's at. I don't know everyone in this place today. We may have first-time visitors. We may have people who have been here since the very first service. I think we do. I know we do. Jeff's here, so Jeff and Michelle. But, you know, I think of we have three kids at home. Joshua, who's four and a half. He'll be five this month. Andrew's 2.5, and then Ellie's 6 months old. And they're all at different stages in what they can eat. You know, Andrew and Joshua can sit down at the table and have a piece of pizza and be just fine. If I tried to give Ellie a piece of pizza, it wouldn't go so well, right? Probably be slimed all over her face, and she'd look a little messy, and if she actually did get a bite in, it probably wouldn't end that well, because she doesn't know how to process it. She doesn't know how to chew it, right? She's on baby food. She's on formula still. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God, that, you know, there might be things that come to us that might be a little chunkier than what we're used to taking in. Right? But when those things come to us, you know, I tell Andrew, because he gets all excited when it's time to eat. He's my son in that area. It's his favorite time. We have to get Joshua to stop talking to eat his food. We have to get Andrew to slow down so that he's not done while the rest of us are still putting foods on the plate. He loves dinner time. And, but I have to caution him and say, Andrew, chew your food. Because sometimes he'll try to swallow the bites whole. And that's not good for him. That's not good for me either. Because I don't like hearing it. I don't like seeing it. And I don't like having to take care of it afterwards. But what I do know is that, you know, depending on the stage that they're at, he knows that he has to chew his food a little bit better to process it. So if something comes to us this morning that's a little bit maybe chunkier than what we're used to, a little bit firmer than what we're used to, just chew it up a little bit more, mull it over, because it's all the Word, right? We'd never share anything from the pulpit that isn't the Word of God. And so we just thank the Lord for His Word, and I know that it'll be a help to us today. So as we talk about honor, I want to just mention this. You know, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, you know those ministers, Pastor Michael Loketic from the Fredonia Church, I've heard all of them say it more than once, that honor is lacking in the body of Christ today. And it's not hard to see. There's a lack of honor really that's in the American culture, and it's been easy for that to creep into the church, because we're in the world, right? We know we're in it, but not of it. But it's easy for those things to creep into the church. But I'm a firm believer that the church ought to shape culture, not culture shape the church, right? I don't want what the world thinks is valuable coming into the church, because I don't think what the world thinks is valuable has any value to it. I think the Word of God has value to it. And the Word of God teaches us about honor, because there's a lack of honor in the nation for authority. That's easy to see. You know, there's a lack of honor in the nation for each other. And there's a lack of honor in this nation for God. And we're to be a light in the world. the churches. We're to be an example to others of what the Bible says, of what God has called us to be. And if we're going to do that, we've got to walk in the light of His Word. And when it comes to honor, there's things and principles that we can put into place, and we're going to see this morning how they'll open the doors of God's blessing up for our life. They'll put us into a new place with God where we've never been before when we're willing to walk a life of honor. Because where there's a lack of honor, there's a lack of power, and there's a lack of the miraculous. You know, someone asked Brother Hagin once, you know, why don't we see the miracles that they used to see in the healing revivals? You know, I don't know about you. I've heard stories of times where people would come in and they wouldn't have an arm on, and someone would pray for them for healing, and an arm would grow out. I've heard stories of people with polio who, you know, they've never walked before in their life, and really their legs are as thin as twigs. And then someone lays hands on them, and they get up out of the wheelchair and run across the stage. Praise God for those things, but I haven't seen them with my own eyes. Now, we believe that they're coming to pass because it's been prophesied for this time that we live in that those things belong to us. And so we expect to see them, but I haven't seen them yet. And someone asked Brother Hagin, why don't we see these things? And he said, there's a lack of honor and consecration in the church. And that's why we don't see these things. And so, you know, it's selfish of us, really, if we're guilty of not honoring God the way that He deserves to be honored, and then people don't get healed because of us. That's on us. That's not on Him. That's not on the world. That's on us, right? I don't want that to be said of me. I don't want to be accountable for someone not getting the healing that Jesus died for them to have. So we do that by bringing the honor of God into the church and by being a light in that area. And we'll see that this morning. So, why don't we read 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. It says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So first let's talk about what honor is. The word actually means to esteem highly, to respect, or value something. And really, when it comes to the law of honor, what we're going to see this morning is that it goes hand in hand with the law of sowing and reaping. That when you sow honor into God, you reap a harvest of God's honor in your life. And that's kind of my theme for this message is, what do I need to do to qualify for God's honor in my life? Because I don't want anything else than to know that what I'm doing is worthy of God's honor and is bringing that into my life. I want that He said, they that honor me, I will honor. And we're going to see what that means when He says that I'll honor them. Honoring is the key to experience the fullness of God's blessings. Not that He withholds anything from us. He doesn't withhold anything from His children. He said, ask and you shall receive. Come boldly to the throne of God that you may receive mercy in time of need. But when we put things in line, when we follow, you know, the directions that he's established for us, we line ourselves up to receive the benefits from walking in those. You know, if I'm going to, say we're going out to lunch and we're going to go to Bob Evans or something like that. And if I know that when I get to Bob Evans, there's going to be a reward there, right? There's going to be some nice hot biscuits with honey poured over top of them. I love Bob Evans. There's going to be some good stuff waiting for me there. But if on the way to Bob Evans, I get off, I'm not going to get the reward that Bob Evans has for me. And it's not Bob Evans' fault, right? It's not his fault. It's my own because I went off the path. I got off the way that He had for me to get there. So we know that when we honor God, we reap that benefit that's at the end of it. And we want to stay in line with that. Stay in line with honor. Because honor is an act of faith. You know, when we honor God, we're releasing faith that He's worthy of my honor. That His word is worthy of me following it to such a point that it's going to bring the honor of God into my life. And when we believe God for something, we're honoring Him because we're taking Him at His word. You know, when I give Joshua directions and he follows them, he's honoring me because he's doing what I told him to do. When he doesn't do what I told him to do, he's dishonoring me, right? It's the same thing with God. He's given us, and not that His love is based on commands or anything like that. God loves us with a fervent love regardless. You know, his grace is abundant. But there's still things that we can open ourselves up to. I don't want to live just the baseline. I want to live far above all that I could ask or think. I want an Ephesians 3:20 life. And if it's going to take to do that I have to honor God and put down what I think is valuable, put down what I think is important in order to honor Him, I'll do it. Praise the Lord. And I know we all have that heart. So the end of this verse says, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The word despise means to disrespect or to be in contempt with. And when I hear that, it takes me back to my college days. You know, my freshman year of college, I had a roommate. We lived on campus. And for some reason, we thought it was the funnest thing in the world that at 11 a.m. every day, we'd go back to the room and watch the People's Court. I can't say that. There's certainly no scripture to support that. I was still renewing my mind, okay? We'll say that. But we thought it was the funniest show, and so we'd always go back to watch that. And so I learned some things about court, not real court, obviously, because that's not a real court. It's a TV show. But there were still some rules on there that she had set forth, the judge had set forth in her courtroom, that people had to follow the rules that she had set forth in that courtroom. And if they went against those rules, they were considered in contempt of court, and they could be removed. And then they lose the benefits of having a judge on their side. Well, it's the same thing as Christians. When we go against the laws that he set forth for us, we're in contempt with him. When I hear the word despise, I think of, you know, when you say you despise someone, that's a strong word. That means you hate them. And I don't know any Christians that necessarily go around saying, I hate God. There's people in the world that don't know God that say these things, but as a Christian born again, I can't fathom saying those words to him because he's my loving father. But when I go against what his laws are, I'm doing the same exact thing. It's the same thing as saying, I hate you, Lord, when I know that his commandment for me is one thing and I do the opposite. So when we put ourselves in that category, it says that they shall be lightly esteemed. I love the King James Version, but sometimes it leaves some things to be desired, you know? Because when I think of lightly esteemed, I think, well, I don't think very highly of that. And that's the end of it. But the God's Word translation of the end of this says, those who despise me will be considered insignificant. That's a bit stronger wording. But that's the heart behind what this scripture is saying to us, that when we don't walk in line with the word, when we don't walk in line with honor for God in our lives, that our desires, it becomes insignificant, that we can't go before a holy Father if we're in total disobedience to him. And I'm not saying anybody here is that way this morning, but I know faith comes by hearing the word, and so it's an opportunity for all of us to look at a place in our lives that, you know, that we can adjust or tweak or whatever we need to do, and we'll see exactly how to put these things into practice this morning. But the word is here to help us, isn't it? Yeah. You know, if you're walking down a path and you've got a flashlight, and that flashlight points out a rock that's in front of you that you were about to trip over, you don't get mad at the rock, right? You move around it or you get the rock out of the way. When the word illuminates things in our lives that are in our way, that are stumbling blocks, that are put there to trip us, we don't get mad at those things. We just get around them, move around them, and move on with God, right? To get where he needs us to go. So we're going to look at three areas that we can do to live the life of honor for God. Three areas. Now, there's obviously many more than three, because honor for God, it's got to permeate our whole being, that whatever God commands us to do in any situation, that we're just willing to do it at the drop of a hat. Amen. You know, that when he tells us to give something, we give it. You know, when he tells us to go serve somewhere, we go serve that place, and we do it faithfully and with a good heart and a good attitude. That's honoring God. But the three areas we're going to look at this morning, first is honoring the Word of God, having honor for the Word. The second is having honor for the house of God or for the church. And the third is having honor for our man of God, or our pastors in this case, Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney for us. So as we look at that this morning, we'll let the Word help us. We'll let the Word direct us today. Go ahead and turn to James chapter 1. This first part we're going to look at is having honor for the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's so good, isn't he?
Amen.
I'm thankful for his Word. It's a lamp unto my feet, a light to my path.
Praise God.
James 1:22. Praise the Lord. It says, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, being deceived. So here's our rocket science, part number one of how to honor God with his word. We just do it. That when the word comes to us, we do it. Whatever it says, we do it. When we're doers of the word, we become honoring the word. We put ourselves in that category. You know, when Joshua got back from the hospital and we got to church that next Sunday, I remember, you know, after... We've all had those times where we came through a faith trial and we came through it with victory, right? We ought to have many of those times. We should have a testimony every single day of something that we put our faith on that God showed himself strong in. But I remember when we came back from that, you know, you had the tendency to think, we just hung the faith moon, you know? Wow, look at what we did. Our faith brought our son back from the deathbed and, you know, brought him back from the bed of disability. Well, that's putting it in my court, and Jesus died so those things could happen. But you have a tendency to think that way, right? Maybe you don't. It happened to me, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I go back to church that morning, and I'm so floored. I'm so happy about what our faith did. And I go up to Pastor Michael with Joshua, and, you know, he looks at him and says, oh, beautiful baby, miracle baby, says something sweet over him. And then he says, yep, the word works, doesn't it? And walks away. And I just... Well, you're right. He certainly wasn't wrong about the matter. But we shouldn't be amazed when the word works for us when we do it. Because when we do the word, we're having honor for the word. And this is where that law of honor comes into it. That when I go to God and say, Philippians 4:19 says, you shall supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. I'm going to him and honoring him by believing his word is truth. And he promises that when I honor him, he'll honor me. And so that makes his word work for me. That's the law of honor in action. You know, how about our Bibles themselves, right? You know, when it comes to the Word itself, this Bible, this book, you know, we ought to have some kind of a reverence for it more than any other book in our library, right? That this book is a holy book of God. That this book is a love letter from the Heavenly Father, the Creator of the universe, right to you. It's got your name written all over it and Jesus' name and everything that the two of those things bring together, right? And then, but I know people who have more honor for a lottery ticket than they do their Bible. That they take more care to know where their lottery ticket is at all times until they see those numbers, but you ask them where their Bible is, and, oh, I'm not sure, you know? No, when we have honor for the Word of God, when we have honor for His things, He promises that's when it works for us. And it's not just a, it's not a law thing. It's not a, you know, oh, that preacher was in church today and told me that if I didn't know where my Bible was, I was a sinner. No, I didn't say anything like that, right? But it opens the door for God to work for us when we bring honor into every arena of our spiritual life, every arena of our life. When we say, I honor this book more than any other book in my house, more than any other book that I have, this book is the book of life, and I value it. When you put a price tag on that, it'll show God that you mean business about honoring Him, and it opens the door for blessings that come from that. Because without the Word, we've got nothing, you know? Without the Word of God, we've got nothing. There's books, there's motivational speakers out there. They can make you feel good, but those things are fleeting. It's not a foundation that we can form our life on. This is a foundation for all eternity, this Word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. Praise the Lord. And we have that. We have that at our beck and call. You know, for hundreds of years, the Dark Ages were really spawned by the fact that the only people that knew what the Word says were the leaders of a corrupt church. They were the only people that knew because it wasn't translated in a way that people could understand. Soon as someone translated it into Latin and people could start to understand what it said, light broke and it broke out of the Middle Ages, right? The Dark Ages of humanity, it broke out because they got the light of the Word of God. Because that permeated for him. We have this at our beck and call. Whenever we need it, his word is there for us. Let's not forget about it. Amen? Amen. So that's honoring the word of God. We be doers of it. We know where it is, right? Praise the Lord. And then we've got to talk about the next one, honoring the house of God. So the local church. Go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21. God's good, isn't he?
Amen.
I hope you're not choking on anything. Because we got chunkier food coming. This is just baby food. Praise the Lord. The word is there to help us, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God. Matthew 21. And just because I don't know where everybody's at when I say the house of God, we mean the church, we mean this church, your church, the church you call home. That's honoring the house of God. Matthew 21, we're going to go to verse 12. Matthew 21, 12. And it says, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now there's a whole lot of things that we see here, but for the sake of time, we're gonna blaze through this because there's some other things too that we gotta talk about. But Jesus said that his house shall be called a house of prayer. And he didn't just mean that the only thing that would happen there is prayer, but he was giving us an illustration that this is the focus, that the spiritual things are to be the focus of the house of God. That when I come to church, it's my divine appointment with God. You know, there's people who have more value for a doctor's appointment than they do the church. That I know folks who, they find it so hard to get up on a Sunday morning to be there for a 10 a.m. service, but you schedule them an 8 a.m. Chiropractor service on a Monday, chiropractor appointment on a Monday morning, and they take up a higher offering too, don't they? You know, you go to that, they've got more honor for that chiropractor than they do God. And they wonder why they need the chiropractor to heal them and God's not, right? Because God can't heal someone that doesn't honor him. He said, they that honor me, I will honor. When we honor the house of God, we qualify ourselves for these things. And what's very interesting here And wonderful to see. So these people are in the temple. They're in the temple of God, and they're money changers. They're doing business in the house of God, business that ought not to be done there. This is a holy place, right? You come here, we come here to hear from the Word of God. You know, in the Old Testament, just go off on this for a second, in the Old Testament, when Moses went before the burning bush, what did God say to him? Take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. Right? There was a reverence and an honor because God was in that place. God is in this place. Now please don't take off your shoes, okay? The only cloud we want in here is the glory cloud, right? But there's a principle here that they that honor God, He will honor. When we come before Him with a holy reverence, when we walk in here recognizing that this is my divine appointment with the Holy One, the Holy Almighty Father in heaven who loves me so much He sent Jesus for me, when we recognize that, we'll see more fruit from service. We'll see more fruit from our pastor because we bring an honor to the table, right? Praise the Lord. What's interesting I love about this is verse 14. It says, "And the blind and lame came to Him in the temple, and He healed them." Immediately, when Jesus took care of the dishonor problem, miracles were able to take place. There weren't miracles taking place in that temple when the money changers were there. There weren't miracles taking place in that temple when people came in with a heart of dishonor. But as soon as Jesus removed dishonor from the scenario, that was the ticket. That was the dam that was blocking the reservoir of God's blessings, right? And as soon as He removed that dam, He took it out of place, God's blessings could flow in that house. And let that be the same of our house of God, that when we come in here, let not our dishonor for God keep His blessings from flowing in this place, right? Not saying anybody's doing that. I'm just saying it's things that we can take note of, that we can always improve on, that we can always endeavor to grow with God, to go to another level of glory with Him. Amen. When we honor God in the local church, we make it a priority. You know, there's folks who have more honor for season tickets to sports games than they do to the house of God. You know, I don't know anybody here, so if you did this, no condo bondo, I'm sure you've repented and we've moved on from this point, right? But I know people, I don't know any of in this house, so I don't know if it happened here. I know people who missed church the Sunday that the Bills played in London because it was at 9:30 in the morning, right? They missed their appointment with God to watch a football, right? And I don't know what the prediction was for that game. I don't know if it, you know, I don't even, could you even predict it because it was already underway? Isn't there? I don't know what happened that morning. But what I do know is that I know people who missed out with God that morning, and then they wonder. They wonder why they don't get more out of church. They wonder why they don't receive from the house of God. Yeah, amen. It's because they don't have an honor for it. They don't have a reverence for the house of God. That this is an appointment that I am unwilling to compromise. I am unwilling to miss this appointment with God. Now, I'm missing my appointment in Fredonia because I had this appointment here today. But you understand the principle, right? Praise the Lord. I won't miss service in Fredonia as long as I'm not somewhere else that God's told me to be, right? Praise the Lord. So when we put a high value on it, we'll get more out of it. We got to cancel plans to be in church, you know? I'm not saying we're not allowed to take vacations. Your pastor's resting right now. He's not missing God, right? No, he's honoring God because he's sowing into the flesh that God gave him. He's making sure that that's rested up so he can be a supply for you all. But there's things that we need to, principles that we need to take from this. If we're missing service every week, every other week for something, I question if that thing is more valuable than God. I've seen people, you know, I know a couple of folks in the Fredonia church, and you know, they were newer, and I, long story short, they got a job, and it was a husband and wife. They had just started coming, they got faithful to church, and they got a job, and it took them out of the services, and in 3 months, everything that they had built up in their relationship with God fell to the wayside. They were released from that position for stealing from the company. I mean, things like that, because they put a higher price on that employment than they did on the house of God. Let that not be said of us. Amen? And it's not just, you know, you may say, well, you're a preacher up there. You're talking about having good church attendance. And I can tell you, Pastor Mike doesn't go to the conferences in California and say, well, I had 60 people in my service on Sunday. You know, it's not for Pastor Mike to have boasting rights, right? It's for our benefit when we put a value on the church of God. Because Pastor Mike, Pastor Courtney would be here every week if there was one person in this house willing to honor the church of God. They would be here doing what God called them to do because you have faithful pastors. But we've got to have equal faith to that because then we'll get the most out of what this house has to offer. You know, I think we have lemons in our house. Maybe you have some lemons or some fruit, some citrus in your house. Because my wife likes making this little cup of warm water with lemon every morning. She found it on Pinterest or something like that. I don't know what it's all about, but supposedly it helps your day go better. I don't understand it. So all I know is that there's lemon rinds every now and then at the place, and I didn't know what they were for. Now I do. Now you do too. So But when I see those, you know, the lemon rinds on the counter, they're usually dried out because she squeezed every bit of lemon juice out of that lemon that it had to offer. And if she doesn't, then you look at it and there's a little lemon pile under the counter. There's leftovers that didn't get taken advantage of. When I come to the house of God, I want to squeeze every bit of juice of it out of that I can. I want to get the last bit out of it. I don't want any drop going to waste. I want everything that was intended for me. Amen? But we do that by honoring the Word of God. And so Matthew 6:33 tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." It's okay to work. It's good to work. It's okay to like sports. Sports are fun. It's okay to enjoy, to be entertained. But when we put honor for those things above the honor that we ought to have for God, I don't want the fruit of the NFL. I want the fruit of the Holy One, right? Praise the Lord. So, but being here honors God. And you did that. So good job. So we could dismiss here and say you hit the nail on the head and we'll go home. But instead, we're going to raise the bar a little bit more because you already got the first one done. So why leave it there, right? We want to improve, right? We want to get better. So what are three ways in the local church that we can honor God? The first thing we can do is we can bring a supply of faith to it. And you don't have to turn here because there's a few scriptures I want to go to. But 1 Corinthians 14:21, we bring a supply of faith to our church. It says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." Now there's balance in these things because, you know, we know that we've got to do things in decency and order. Corinthians tells us that. Because if every one of us did come to church with a tongue ready to go, with a doctrine ready to preach, there'd be a whole lot of chaos here. And no one would really get help at all from the one that's called to help them, from their pastors. That's why we have pastors, because they're called to help us. That's why we don't have just shout-out services where everybody gives whatever they feel like they've got at that moment. Because they may not be equipped to give us what is meant to be given, right? You know, my father-in-law, he just passed away. He's in heaven now, glory to God. But before he died, he was a truck driver, and he used to take shipments of things from one location to another. Well, I know how to operate a vehicle, but if I got in that truck to try and take that shipment of something from one place to the other, bad things would happen because I'm not qualified for what that's supposed to be, right? Our pastors are qualified to deliver things to us. They've got a spiritual CDL, right? They bring us to the next level. We may know what the package is. We may, you know, we may see it. God may say, yeah, this shipment is this and this, but they're the ones equipped to deliver it. So that's why we've got to bring order into these things. But when it says this, when you come together, every one of you has. So when we come together as the house of God with our appointment in God, we ought to be prepared with a supply of faith. You know, when you come to church, if the whole church came only to receive, no one would receive what was intended for those that actually were supposed to receive. Mature Christians are called to bring a supply of faith to that service. And that's honoring the house of God, that when I go to church in the morning, you know, on the way to church, Joshua and I will be in the truck and we'll pray the whole way there and say, "Thank you, Lord, for my appointment with God today. Thank you that my pastor has utterance and boldness today. Thank you that people there get what they need." Not even just for myself. I say thank you that people there get what they need because I'm a people there, right? And if I only pray for myself, well, I might reap some fruit of it, but how much more to selfless, to pray for your friends, pray for your peers in this place. This is our church family, right? We lift them up and pray that someone might get that news that they need, that word of knowledge that comes forth from the pulpit that breaks off whatever they're going through because you brought a supply of faith to that service. If a whole place is full of leeches, there's not going to be much life there, right? But if we come prepared to bring life, prepared to bring a supply to that place, then praise the Lord, people that need those things will get them. So the first thing we do, we come to church, and then we bring a supply of faith to it. The second thing is we bring a supply of finances. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 4. And don't turn me off because I said money, because it's good. You know, I said this last night, where else would you rather learn about money? I don't want somebody on Wall Street telling me how to handle my money. I want the Word of God telling me how to do it. Because Wall Street doesn't seem to know what they're doing. The government doesn't seem to know what they're doing. And everybody's got all this money flying around, and the only one that I've ever seen any fruit of it from is the Word of God. And so if anything's going to tell me, people get offended when the church talks about money. Where else would you rather learn it from? I'd rather get the answer straight from the one that invented it, right? He knows exactly how the system is supposed to work. And so praise the Lord, He's going to give us the keys to it. Amen? So Acts chapter 4 and verse 34 says, "Neither was there any among them that lacked four." And I want to pause here and bring this out because there's a colon there. And I want to read this in a different way that really takes advantage of that fact. We're going to say, "Neither was there any among them that lacked for this reason." So we're going to see why no one among them lacked. Because I don't want to lack, right? The Bible promises I ought not to lack. And so if this is why they didn't lack, let's pay attention to it. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So these people sold what they had to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what happened afterwards? God honored that. Because they honored him. They honored his house. They honored the move of God. And God honored that. He made sure that none of them lacked. The Philippian church, if you look in those scriptures, you know, we have that frosty verse, Philippians 4:19, says, "My God shall supply all my needs." And we all stand on that one like it's, you know, I've got my salvation, I've got my supply, right? We know those things because we've got needs in this life and we want God to meet them and he promises that he will. But we always, you know, not we always, but sometimes it's not mentioned that just a few verses before that, Paul thanked the Philippian church for being better givers than any other church at that time. And so now we've got this verse that we can stand on because our needs were met, because that church gave, right? We're reaping the fruit of the seeds that they sowed to the move of God. Aren't you thankful for that? Praise the Lord. And so when it comes to the house of God, you know, we talked about that sacrificial giving, right? There's something that'll move us up, that'll qualify us for more of what God has for us when we're willing to part with our funds to promote the move of God. And what an opportunity we have here in a building fund, right? In the Fredonia Church, we have a building fund, and I'm so excited. As soon as they said it's time for the building, I got excited because I know that that's my key to furthering a supply for myself. 2 Corinthians 9 tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. The amplified version of that scripture says God is unwilling to do without someone who gives cheerfully. When it says it's unwilling to do without, what that tells me is that God will do whatever it takes to make sure I'm still able to give cheerfully. Because the attitude is my department, but the supply is his department. As long as I bring the right attitude to the table, he promises he'll keep that supply flowing. And so that's how we do it. We fund the house of God. We be givers at the house of God. You know, I know a couple in ministry, they're pastors, and they have three absolutely beautiful homes. Three beautiful homes. And you say, a preacher has three homes? Well, yeah, they do. Because they did the word. Doesn't matter if they're a preacher, they did the word. The word works for everybody, preachers or not. But, you know, what happened? They were in a ministry, and they were serving faithfully there, and God told them, I want you to go start a church in this city. Not this city, a city. And so what they did is they said, well, we don't really have a, you know, I don't see the money in the bank account to go start a church halfway across the country. So what are we going to do? They sold their house and used that money to start the Church of God. To start the church that God called them to do. Now that was over 10 years ago. That was in the early 2000s. And today, they've reaped three dream houses, right? How many would like to have one dream house? They've reaped three. How did they do it? Because they did the word of God. Because they had such honor for the house of God that they were willing to part with their house in order to further his kingdom, right? You know, let that be said of us, that when the time comes that God says, I want you to sow this seed, that we do it because it's for our benefit on the other side. They never would have reaped those houses. That's important. To them, you know, it's important to all of us, of course, but they never would have reaped that if they hadn't been willing to sow that seed, that they weren't willing to go where God said go and do what he said to do. Praise the Lord. So when opportunities come to be givers to the house of God, let's do it, because he's setting us up for something good, right? And he'll keep us funded. I like to say God funds the funder, right? I'm a funder, so he'll fund me. Because as long as I continue to fund him, he promises he'll fund me. Because that's the law of honor. They that honor me, I will honor. When we honor God with our finances, he promises he'll honor us too. So the last thing, we bring a supply of faith. We bring a supply of finances. The last thing is we bring a supply of ourself. And we won't turn here, but 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the body of Christ, that we all have a part to play. When it comes to the local church and serving in the ministry of helps, what an opportunity we have to honor the house of God by providing ourselves, right? Not all of us might have $10,000 set aside for a seed that we'd love to give to the building fund, but we do have something that we can do. We have ourselves, that whatever needs to be done. You know, I knew a pastor who has a wonderful ministry today, and when he first started out, when he first got saved, he went to the pastor of his church and said, I'll do anything you need here. If you want me to clip the grass with toenail clippers, I'll do it. He was willing to do whatever it took for the house of God, and now he has a wonderful, blessed ministry. He's a pastor himself, and God's using him mightily. But it's that heart to serve in the local church, because we're all called to it. And when we serve faithfully there, we qualify ourselves for more. for more. God wants to get as much to us as we can, and He will. Whatever level we're at, He'll make sure we get the most out of that level. But when we bring our faith to another level, when we bring our honor to another level, that's when He can start to match us at that level, right? So let's honor God at a higher level. Praise the Lord. So we talked about honoring the Word. We talked about honoring the house of God. And we'll close with this. I say close. We got a little bit more, but it's the last point. So at least you know we're getting there. Honoring our man of God. In this case, your pastors. Pastor Mike, Pastor Courtney. Go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark 6. I think sometimes this might be the hardest area for us to get through, just because of it's so contradictory to American thinking, you know? It's so contradictory to the ways of the world that you would have such honor and reverence for another person, because we don't see those things here in America. Maybe in a country that still has a system where, you know, like, for instance, in Japan, I don't know if they still do this, but I knew in high school I learned about it, that when their teachers walk in the room, they stand for them. Because they honor their teachers to that regard. You know, we ought to do the same in the house of God. Now, I'm not telling you every time Pastor Mike walks in the room to stand to your feet, but have an attitude of honor, right? Have an attitude of honor towards them. Because they're not just people. They are people, but they're not just people. They bring something else to the table. And we're going to see that. So Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And we're going to go ahead and start in verse 1. I should turn there too, since we're going to read it. It says, "And he, Jesus, went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence is this man these things? Excuse me, and what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. And Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor," there's that word honor, "but in his own country, among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folks and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and went around the villages teaching." There's so many nuggets in these scriptures. We could spend a whole sermon just on these six scriptures here. But we're not. We only have a little bit of time left. So we're just going to bring out a few lights that we have here. It said that Jesus was limited in what he could do. Not what he would do, what he could do. Jesus, as far as he was concerned, he was the Son of God. He would have healed everyone that needed healing. He would have cast out every demon that needed casting out if it were up to him. But it wasn't just up to him. We know that from the house of God. When we come in here, there's three parts to every service. There's the God part. He's always on his A-game. There's your pastor's part, and he's always on his A-game. And then we've got our part, right? What we bring to a service matters. What we bring to our man of God matters. And so in this situation, Jesus couldn't do it. And it wasn't because of him. You know, he was on the ball that day. He didn't wake up on the wrong side of the whatever they slept on. He didn't have his cup of coffee that morning. He was not frazzled. He wasn't late, anything like that. No, he couldn't do it, and it wasn't because of lack of finances, because we know Jesus was fully supplied. The only reason that we see that he was unable to do the work of God in that place was because of a lack of honor for what he walked in, for the Son of God. The Phillips translation says in verse 4, verse 3, where it says, "Is this not the carpenter?" The Phillips translation says, "He's only the carpenter." That's all they saw him as. So that's all the fruit they got from him. You know, they would have gotten a nice table, but they didn't get any miracles, right? I love my pastor. I love your pastor. And they bring a lot to the table. Your pastor can hunt, play baseball. He can do a lot of things naturally very well. But those things are just the natural things. And I want more than that when I come into the house of God. My pastor is a good carpenter. He can build things. He can imagine and see things that I can't even, you know, figure out. But I want more than just those natural skills. I want the supernatural. I want what God has called them to. That's what I want to take advantage of. And we tap into that when we bring honor to the table. Because Jesus called a lack of honor for them, he called it disbelief. He marveled at their disbelief. He marveled at their unbelief. When it comes to our pastors, when it comes to the house of God, when we come here knowing that our pastors are called of God, that they're a gift to us, Ephesians 4 tells us. When we come here reverencing, you know, it's not hero worship. It's honor. It's honor. Because there's things that your pastor walks in. I've heard Pastor Michael Loketic say this about your pastor. And I mentioned this on Wednesday, and I'll mention it every time because it's good to bear repeating. We were out for lunch one day, Pastor Michael and I, and he said to me, "Watch Pastor Mike Because he walks in one of the highest degrees of the pastoral anointing that I've ever seen. Your pastor. Pastor Michael Loketic, say that about your pastor. So you're blessed here, right? And as long as you know that you're in a place that your pastor is called to be there and you're faithful to serve under him, when we revere them, when we honor the offices that they walk in, they're not Mike and Courtney. They're Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney. Because I want what they bring to the table. I want what that office that they walk in, I want that office. You know, whatever your feelings on the man, not Pastor Mike, we're talking about a different man here, and I'll get to that point in a second, but I'm going to start with this. Whatever your feelings on him, I don't care, so don't let it throw you with what I'm about to say. But Barack Obama, our president, the man, he can't do much more than I can. You know, maybe he's a little bit stronger and he can lift a little bit more. Maybe he had a little bit more money in his checking account and he could, you know, buy a something different than I could or something like that. But as a man, he's not much more qualified than I am at anything in life because he's just a man, just like me. But when he stepped into the office of the president, something changed for him, right? Now he can sign treaties on behalf of our nation. Now he can go before Congress and appeal, and he can go before presidents of other nations and talk to them, and he can make all these big decisions, and he's got, I don't think it actually exists, but he's got the big red button that he can push and, you know, launch all the nuclear arsenal. I don't think it's real. You've probably seen it in movies, but there's all these doors that were opened to him when he stepped into the office of president, right? Well, our pastors step into the office of the pastor, and when they step there, it opens the door of what's available to us when we honor that office that's on their life, when we take full advantage of it. You know, I've got where we just moved in Fredonia. We moved into our Ephesians 3:20 house, and so thankful to God for it. But in our backyard, we have this probably 20-foot line of raspberry bushes. I love fresh raspberries. And you can tell my wife I love fresh raspberry pie. If you drop that faith hint to her, I won't be upset at all. Go right ahead. But I have, when the time comes for those raspberries to harvest, which is probably summer sometime, when those raspberries are on those bushes, there's a couple of things I can do. I can go look at them. I can talk about the raspberries and how beautiful they are and how red and juicy they look and how delicious they probably taste. But until I actually start to take those raspberries off of the bushes, I'm not going to have any advantage of what's on them. I'm not going to be able to taste the goodness that comes with that. We can look at Pastor Mike and Pastor Courtney all we want to. We can say they're great pastors, but until you make your pastor yours, when he stops being the pastor of my church and he becomes my pastor, something changes. And you take that raspberry off that bush and you get all the juicy benefits that it has out of it, make a good taste in dessert and come back to church for breakfast on Sunday, right? But we've got to do that. And that happens through faith. That because we recognize what our pastors walk in. And again, it's not hero worship, but it's the word of God and it's truth. So we're going to close with this. I know I said close early. That was the beginning of the closing process. You know, that's like you're kicking the people out of the store, and now we're going to start shutting the lights off, okay? There's three areas that we can talk about honoring our pastors in, and so we're going to look at those. The first one is with our words. You know, what do we call them? What do we call them? Are they Pastor Mike, Pastor Courtney? It matters. It matters because if I go to Pastor Michael, and I've seen it, I've seen the fruit of it, and people in our congregation who only call him Michael or Mike, they don't have much fruit of his ministry in their life. They don't have any fruit of what he teaches in their life. But when the person recognizes that they're a pastor, that they walk in that office, that opens the door and they tap into everything that's on that. So what do we call them? Do we call them Pastor Mike, Pastor Courtney? What about what we say about them, right? When they're not there, when we're not around our church friends, around the dinner table, when there's nobody else from church there, what do we say about our pastors? I will never say one wrong thing about my pastor. I will never say a word of doubt about something that he's teaching, because doubt is unbelief. And I refuse to participate with unbelief. If he's teaching something and if I don't believe it, if I don't think it's right, first of all, I assume I'm wrong. Second of all, if I can't get past that and I still think that I'm right, I'll go before God and say, God, here's the situation. I refuse to think that he's wrong in the situation, so I just ask you to give me clarity. Give me direction, because I want clarity and direction. And how do you ensure that your pastor's not wrong? We pray for them. We lift them up. Pray for spiritual wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him that when they do say things to us, we can trust. When you have to filter something that's coming to you all the time, you're going to miss out on some of the good stuff that gets caught up in that filter, right? If you've ever had a flour sifter and you've got to sift the flour, there's always a little bit of flour left behind. And again, I want every single bit of what's entitled to me. If my pastor's called to help me, called to lead me and equip me, I want to get everything out of it that I can. And so when it comes to these things, we speak good about them. We honor them with our words. The second thing we do is we honor them with our actions. you know, we treat them with respect and honor. When they come in, it's not just another day at the gym. It's not just another guy at the ball game. This is my pastor walking through the door. You know, when Pastor Michael comes to Fredonia, we've got our ushers trained where they, boom, 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 you get in line, you get his door, you get this door, you get this door, you put this down. And you may say it's obsessive. No, that's honor. Because God said, they that honor me, I will honor. I want the fullness of what he's got on him. And you want the fullness of what's on your pastors. You know, when we honor them, when we look at them through spiritual eyes of honor, we're going to get everything out of that office that God has for us. And the last way we honor them is with our finances. And we can just put this on our scriptures on the overhead screens. And I know we talked about finances earlier, but this is another way. And again, I said this before, I'll say it again. Where else would you rather learn about money than in the church? Amen? 2 Kings chapter 4. You guys are such good, faithful people here. 2 Kings 4 and verse 8. There's quite a few scriptures here, so we're just going to read through them, and I might stop on the way to bring out some light. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. That word great means rich, so this was a rich woman. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said to her husband, "Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually." So she recognized that this was a man of God. That was the first step. She was honoring the office that he walked in, recognizing that he was a man of God. So she said, "Let us make a little chamber." Now, if you study that word chamber out in the Greek, because for us, we'll read the rest of this verse first. "I pray thee on a wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick, and it shall be when he comes to us, he'll turn in here." When we see that word chamber, especially little chamber, we may think that means just maybe a closet with a bed in it and a little lampstand or something like that. If you study out that word in the Greek, it's actually a term that the Hebrews used for a part of a house that would be built, a room built over the top of the bottom story. So if you price that out at today's standards to put a second story addition on your house, you're talking $40,000. Easy. And that was when I did the calculations 3 years ago when I did this study. It's probably more since then. So easily, she gave $40,000 to this man just so that as he's walking by, he would have a place to rest. And he didn't even ask for it. He didn't have to go before her and say, "I'm exhausted." He didn't have to go before her. It doesn't say he looked tired. It doesn't say anything like that. It just said she saw something that would bless him and she put the fruit into it. She sank 40 grand into that. What do you think would happen in the media today if somebody built a $40,000 addition onto their house? If you built a $40,000 hunting something in your backyard just for Pastor Mike to come at one day a year, right? What would you think the media would say about that? They'd call you nuts. Well, let's see the fruit of what happened to this nuts woman, okay? We'll move on. And it fell on a day that he came, and I'm not telling anybody, that wasn't a word or anything like that, to go and do that. I'm just using it as an example, okay, for us to bring it into today's imagination, because there we go. All right. And it fell on a day that he came in there, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite." And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, "Say now to her, behold, you've been careful for us with all this care. What's to be done for you? Would you be spoken to for the king or the captain of the host?" And she answered, "I dwell among my own people." And I love what this verse brings out to us, and it shows us her heart behind it. She wasn't seeking anything when she did this for him. She wasn't seeking that he would put a good word in for her with the king. She wasn't seeking for her own benefit. What she did was solely for his benefit and his enjoyment. And he said, "Call her." And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of your life, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid." So this verse tells us it wasn't her faith for the miracle she was about to receive, right? Because she said, "No, that's not possible." So we're going to see the miracle still happened. We'll see why it happened. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of her life. You know, we don't buy miracles. You don't go into Walmart and go down the miracle aisle and buy deafness gone or, you know, anything like that, whatever products you might find on the Walmart aisles. We can't buy these things. But this is the law of honor in action. She went before this man and she said, "This is a man of God." She honored the office he walked in. And she said, "I think it would benefit him to have a place to rest, to have a place that he can take and just relax and enjoy himself for a little bit while he's doing his ministry work." And when she did that, it opened up the door for God's blessing supernaturally in her life. You can't buy a child when you can't conceive one. Right? You can go to all the fertility doctors in the world, but if it's not possible, you need a miracle to make it happen. And this is this because she honored God, she got her miracle in this situation. And it's the same thing later on. You read on. It didn't stop there. When she sowed that seed, it activated God's power through his ministry for her. Because later on, that miracle child that she had, he passed away. He died. And that same minister came back and raised him from the deathbed, raised him from dead because of the seed that she sowed to him. Folks, our pastors are gifts to us. Our pastors are gifts from our Heavenly Father to us. And we don't buy the things that God has for us. But when we put a high value on them, God says, they that honor me, I will honor. I'm so thankful for the law of honor because it allows us to tap into things. It allows us to bring our faith up to another level. And the Word tells us exactly how to do it. And so when we want to experience the fullness of God's blessings, there's three areas that we can honor, God. And these aren't the only three, but they're just the three we talked about. Honor for the Word of God, honor for the house of God, for the local church, and honor for our man, for our woman of God. That when we revere them and honor them as a gift to us from our Heavenly Father, we'll tap into everything they have to offer. Were you helped today? Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? It helps us, doesn't it? It brings light to us in Revelation. There's people all over the world who don't know because they don't honor their pastors. Their pastors are just their friends, only the carpenter, right? No, my pastor's more than that. He's a man that God sent, and he walks in an office that has equipment for me, and I'm going to get the most out of it. Amen? Why don't we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for light on these things. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us. We thank you, Lord, that you want to bring us to another level. You want to bring us up with you. And so we thank you for showing us how that through the law of honor, when we put that into operation in our lives, we'll see fruit of it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that each of us sees a way that we can improve in our honor, that we can go to a higher level with you. And Father, we just thank you so much for that opportunity. With heads bowed and eyes closed in this place today, we talked about honor for the Word, honor for the house of God, honor for our man of God. But all of this has got to start with an honor for Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. If we don't recognize him as our Lord, if we don't honor the fact that God sent him for us, we'll never tap into the salvation that he has for us. He has eternal life. He has promises. He has an eternity in heaven with him, free from suffering, free from sorrow and pain. You know, I mentioned my father-in-law passed away. He's there now, rejoicing on streets of gold with heaven. And that's the same thing that we're all entitled to because of Jesus. And so when we honor Jesus by recognizing him and making him Lord of our life, we tap into the fruit of what he did for us, that salvation. And I don't know everyone here, so if there's somebody here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I just invite you right now, go ahead and raise your hand. We'll all pray together. I want to give an opportunity. I don't know everyone here, so you may all be walking with the Lord. Praise God. I'll give a second option here. If you have been born again, you have honored Jesus by making him the Lord of your life, but in that time, maybe that honor has slipped away and you've walked away from God. This is an opportunity for us to walk back to him, to go back before him and say, God, I repent. I want to be right with you. I want to rededicate my life. If that's you today, you want to run back to your Heavenly Father this morning. He's there with open arms. Go ahead and lift your arm today. Your hand. Praise the Lord. Don't see any hands, so I trust we're all family this morning. We'll pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for honor. We thank you, Lord, and we honor you. We reverence you, Father. We just thank you that this is a place that miracles take place because of an honor for you. And we thank you, Lord, for these pastors, Pastor Mike, Pastor Courtney, and we thank you for an honor for them in this place, that we'll get the fullness of the ministry that you have in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise